You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
And Esther. And in the story of Esther, here is a queen who's made queen, but prior to that, she has this cousin. His name is Mordecai. Mordecai, the Bible says in the story of Esther, he raised her up like his own daughter. She didn't have parents.
Adoption.
Again, you just see this over and over and over. And then you jump to the New Testament. And this is why we believe the whole of Scripture, the Old and New Testament, they all go together. Think about the story.
Joseph essentially adopted the Son of Man, God's Son.
Yeah.
Because he had not yet known, as a husband knows a wife,
right.
Mary, and was going to divorce her, but then an angel visits and says, do not deny the child. The child is of God.
Joseph and Jesus. And so he's raising up someone who's not his own blood. As if he was his own.
And, Never thought of this.
You know, and
Spirit of adoption.
So it's being interwoven the whole way. And let me get back to where we are then with Romans 8, because the last story of adoption is God and us. How is it that you and I become a son and daughter of the King?
Mm-hmm.
It is being born again of the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit is how God recreates us so that we can be in his family. We don't enter into the kingdom of God in our own flesh. In fact, in the day of judgment and the day of a new heavens and new earth, we'll be given glorified bodies. We'll be a new creation in Christ Jesus, away.
In case you don't get this, folks, you're standing before the judge one day, and he's going to say, guilty. You are guilty of this, of stealing or anger or fornication or adultery or whatever. And then in the back, he'll say, you are guilty. And then there's going to be this man who's going to stand up in the back. He's got a beard and long hair, and he goes, it's okay, Father. I paid the price for this one.
Yeah.
Go, you are free. The price has been paid by Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what a manly man he was? What a manly man. We think of, you know, this little life.
Tenderhearted.
He is tenderhearted, but a strong man is strong. Yeah. I mean, the Jews will tell you a man is a man not because he doesn't cry, but because he does cry.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, what a man it takes, though, to die on a cross. If there be any way, Father, please remove this cup of suffering from me.
But, well, it's God's Spirit that indwells in us, his Holy Spirit, that makes us sons and daughters. And so we get the full rights and privileges as children of God. You know, the wonderful part about being a child of God is children get to interrupt your day. You know, if you're in a business meeting and your kid wants to walk in the room and sit on your lap and ask you a question, you don't push them away. They are more privileged. We can interrupt our Heavenly Father's day. This is why he answers our prayers. You know, it says, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. And we have all the rights and privileges of interrupting the Lord's day because we are considered his children.
Well, you know, it says the truth is written on the heart of the Jews, and half of my family's Jewish. Well, when you go into a Jewish household, Eli and Jonah, the whole household is there for the children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Uncle Rhett thought they should have been admonished more in this way or that way, but they're given a whole lot of freedom, and you find out that the fruit, knowing the fruit, and the fruit is that these boys are loving and both professionals, one an architect, another an engineer, going into some biological stuff and whatever. But anyway, the point is, I see in the household where you don't have, if you're a parent, do not put, my mother, God bless Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
She never, ever, never put me down.
Mm-hmm.
So stupid me, I believed in myself. Do you know there was a guy who went to school and the teacher sent him home with a note? And he says, what does it say, Mom? What does it say, Mom? And she said, well, it says you're too smart to be in the school there, that you need to be homeschooled. So years later, she's dead and he's going through, rummaging through her papers, and it's Thomas Edison, and he finds the note, and the note says, "Your son is a moron. He cannot stay in school with us." He said, "She, my mother, took an idiot and made him a genius."
Hmm.
There's the faith of a mother.
Yeah. Well, I...
So too does God love you, whoever you are listening to this broadcast.
Sure. And it could be 3 a.m. in the morning. God has a call on your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can give your life to Jesus. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And maybe you have felt like you don't have value. Maybe you felt that no one can love you. And yet here I will tell you the scripture says very much otherwise. The Lord loves you so much that he would send his son for your life. That if you were alone and you feel disconnected from everyone, through Jesus Christ, he connects you into a new family. And you should give your life to the Lord today. If you are hearing these words, you commit your life to Jesus today. And we will meet in heaven together, talk about how you came to know Christ, and spend eternity with our family.
What happened with me, I can only relate to what happens to my life in real. I did not believe in Jesus. I was into Eastern religions. You know, Autobiography of a Yogi at 14, Satchitananda, and then going off to Boston to get inducted into meditation. But turns out meditation is meditation. It's really a science. It's not really a religion at all. But anyway, seeking everything else, but I thought Jesus was foolishness. And then at 29, enough people around me were getting saved. And Pat Robertson on the 700 Club, who did not yell. I don't like people yelling at me because I was yelled at severely as a child by a male that was in the life. But so I don't like yelling. And here was this pleasantly spoken man, Ben Kinchlow, the black man, who was the co-pastor, who later in life became my brother from another mother. I mean, I love. Benjamin, I love you. You're up in heaven. I can't wait to see you and embrace you, my brother. But I see these guys. So I get up one Sunday morning and I said, okay, they were talking about this Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit? So I'm in my living room and I start saying, okay, I'll take a chance. You died on the cross for my sin. You rose from the dead and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I got to, yes, I mean, you are God, and you died on the cross for my sins, you rose from the dead, and I surrender the rest of my life to you.
Mm-hmm.
The heavens opened up, and the holiness of God came into me. The first thing I felt was this enormous euphoria and peace and love, and I immediately said, oh, this is why people do drugs. Drugs and alcohol are the counterfeit. This is the real thing. And then I sat down in my rocking chair, and I said, this is what the black folks are talking about. I said, I thought happiness and joy were synonyms, and this was joy. And I realized it's not a synonym. It's a whole different thing to know the joy of the Lord. I said in my rocking chair, and all I said was, you are real. Oh, my, you are real. You are real.
You know, I was just preaching on this. We're in Matthew chapter 24, and we just started 25 last Sunday, but it was about two Sundays ago, maybe three. Yeah, I think it was two Sundays ago. Greek words matter. They help us understand the scriptures.
Was it originally written in Greek?
The New Testament, Koine Greek,
okay.
Yes. It was a very common Greek
language. So the Old Testament
language.
Was Hebrew.
Hebrew, yes.
And the new one is Greek, okay.
Yeah, and there's some Aramaic in there, which is like a different dialect language from 2,000 years ago. But words matter, and they also teach us what it means to be a Christian. Because you're right. It's not just saying a statement. You know, maybe you grew up and you remember signing a card that says, I gave my life to the Lord. Or you said a prayer that someone led you in. And there are people who said, well, I said that sinner's prayer, so I'm good with God. Or I made that statement, so I'm good with God. That's a past tense word.
Mm.
A Christian, once you're born of the Spirit and you have this renewed heart, you didn't submit to God in a past tense. You are
submitting.
Submitting, which is a present tense progressive.
And it's not a perfunctory obedience.
Correct.
You can go to church, you can sit in a pew, but you can go into a garage. It doesn't make you a car.
Right. So our life is a life of ongoing obedience to the Lord because of his great love for us. We live in response to what he's done.
It's your kindness that leads us to repentance, O Lord.
It really is. It really is. I mean, certainly I remember being approached with my own sin, but the kindness of the Lord, I mean, I wanted the hope of heaven. I remember that. I did not have joy in my life, but I saw the joy in Christians. And you know, when we're adopted, when we have that spirit of adoption, you ever notice that it's so much easier to relate with other Christians? I mean, you might just meet somebody off the street who says, I go to over this church, or I know Jesus. And all of a sudden, you can fully identify with someone else like that. There's no
My friend Michael
walls.
The Greek, David Usher and I, lifetime friends, we get together. All we talk about is our first love. Our first love is the Lord.
Yeah.
It's great.
And
we want to share them with everybody.
That's another wonderful part about the spirit of adoption. It brings you not just into relationship to your Heavenly Father, but everyone else. And so you get to be a part of this greater family. When we take communion at Morningstar, which, by the way, 10 a.m. services, if I'm allowed to give a little plug.
On Oslo in Vero Beach, Florida.
Yep.
Sundays at 10 a.m.
Sundays at 10 a.m. Fourth Sundays we do communion. And the word communion is
union.
And co, like your
co-union.
So think about it as union with God, but with your community around you. And so when you're given the spirit
Catholic
of adoption.
I remember Catholic priest telling me that when I was much younger, in my 20s, and said, you know, it's about communion, and community, I mean. And I realize now how important community is.
Right. And, you know, I never had a church family growing up. And I will tell you,
what does that mean, you never had a church family? You didn't go to church?
Christmas
just
and Easter.
Okay.
You know, and I didn't have, like, these relationships to a minister. I would never think about calling my pastor about failing a subject matter in high school. Yet now, as I'm a pastor now, that people rely. They want to text me, call me, let me know what's going on in their lives. I'm still like in awe.
But now you're obligated.
Now I'm obligated, but
you know, Rhett calls you 2 o'clock in the morning and says, you know, I'm despondent or something. You're obligated before God as a servant of the people to get on your knees and I got to get out of bed, honey. I got to pray for Palmer there, whoever might be calling you.
In 50 years, when I write my book, one of my chapters—
50 years, I write my book.
I'll have a chapter called The Shepherd Smells Like Their Sheep.
Oh.
You know, the pastor needs to be with his flock. You know,
He sleeps out in the wilderness with the sheep.
Yeah, I'm not in my little office all day long, and I preach, and then I walk away from you. We do stuff together.
If there's anybody I know, you do that. I see you with all kinds of...
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
This moment, in every season, this is your promise, Jesus, you reign.